She's out there. You're the Florida version of Sex in the City, JD.
That's when I was smoking my cigar.
Don't be an asshole today.
Jenny McNulty.
Hi.
How are you?
I am well. I'm not hearing you. I'm not hearing you. Go ahead. Speak again.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Good. You know what? When you mute it, you don't hear it. It's
great. You don't hear. My buddy JD will be joining us in just a few. She's running a little bit late, so I told her I would start. I don't think you've ever met her before. She's a friend of mine from when I lived in Florida. She's a singer, and we just recently started doing this podcast, and we're beefing up our lineup, man. We've got guests.
Excellent. Are you still in England?
I still am in England. Yep. Stuck here now.
Yeah. How have you not even picked up a faint English accent?
Oh, it's not going to happen. I try and get them to talk like me.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's great because they like it. So they do. I was working in a pub. And every time I would say, like, if a bill came to 20 something dollars or pounds, I would say, it's 22, and they would be like 20, not 20, 20. yeah, it's funny. Ha ha. But no, it's never going to happen. I use the right words. I just don't say them with the accent,
Oh, that's the fun part though.
Yeah. I'll say flat, and I'll say the boot of the car, and
Oh, there you go. Right.
Yeah, like things like the flats across the way, and
Hopefully you don't smoke though. I don't want you picking that one up.
I do. but yeah, it's been tough. I've had like I don't even know now 4 or 5 flights canceled to go home and go to Florida to see my mom. So started back like a year and a half ago, and they just keep canceling them. So I have not been able to, my wife can't get to her home in Australia. So, yep.
Where's your mom in Florida?
My mom is just, she's between Miami and Boca Raton. She's in Coral Springs. So
oh, I know where that's at. Yeah.
Uh-huh. She's doing all right. She's all back.
Hopefully she's just locking herself inside from that crazy fucking state. Oh my God.
I know. It's like she says the right things, like this governor's an idiot and I don't know why people don't just wear masks and, la la la, all that stuff. And then she texts me a picture of a slot machine. I'm like, are you in a casino? She's like, I'm all messed up.
Oh God.
They got plexiglass between the machines. I'm like, oh my God. So I just, I was telling my friend the other day, I'm like, all of a sudden at 75, my mother has the social life of a 21-year-old. She's like, I'm meeting so-and-so for bagels, but we're gonna sit outside. Like she always has the disclaimer, why it's okay. Yeah. And I'm just waiting for a text one day to be like, there's a kegger in the woods. I don't know what to do with her. Oh my God. Stay home. But she just, after a year and a half of it, she just doesn't want to anymore.
Yeah. You know what? It's making me so angry though, because our stupid petulant behavior, we'd be done with this by now. If we'd have, first of all, had a halfway decent human being in the White House, we would have taken precautions, but they just kept digging and kept digging to make it as political as they possibly could. We'd be over it right now. We have all the vaccines in the world. We could be done with this shit.
Everything is so political about it. It's just, oh my God. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but like, I every time I see somebody's Facebook posts, like, and you find out they're one of them.
Yeah.
Like your respect just kind of drifts. And drifts, and drifts. Yeah, it's really hard. Like that part of it is killing.
And it just doesn't make any fucking sense.
No.
Like my favorite line now is everybody's like, I know my rights. I'm like, really? Name one. Just give me one right name. One bill of rights. You got a bunch to pick from. Pick one.
It's ridiculous. Okay, I'm gonna let JD in so you can meet her. You made it, yay. JD, that's Jenny.
Likewise.
I got stuck in traffic on the way home. I am so sorry. I'm a little bit late.
It's Florida for you. Just loading up with the tourists. Loading up with tourists.
No worries.
Exactly.
Everybody coming to Florida because everything's open and you don't have to wear a mask.
And no one's bringing any disease down here, right?
Oh, everything's fine. It's all fine.
Some guy in the news last night said that if Florida were another country, we would probably not allow people in and out of there.
So true. Oh my God, it's so true. It's like I actually have a ticket for October, and I said to my mom, "Look, don't get excited because I'm gonna end up pushing it out. I'm not coming to that hot mess of a state, you know, after spending like 2 years being safe. Like that's just not my idea of fun. That's just like plunging into a pool of turds. You know what I mean? Like you just wouldn't do that. You just wouldn't do it. You would see it and you would avoid it. So I gotta play smart here. It's like, nope, not doing it.
Are they better in England, or are they just, is there a Trumpish kind of
small little divide? I'm starting to see it a little bit, but we're doing so good with vaccinations.
Good.
You know, it's just like, it's just down to the last 25%, you know, we're at like 78% of all adults have at least had one dose. And, you know, they made our space between doses really long.
Oh,
my first one was in February. My second one was in May.
Oh my gosh.
That's wrong. My first one was in March and my second one was in May. Still like a long time.
Yeah.
Still that's long. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like 78%, I think, of all adults have been, you know, vaccinated at least once. And we get the AstraZeneca one. I don't
know. Okay. Well, that could be why your wait is longer. It just could be that particular vaccine needs its booster later.
And they were very meticulous in how they rolled everything out, you know, like old people first. And then they just kind of went down the list, like, you know, like 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s. And now they're just like starting with the younger folks. But yeah, it's been that part of it. You know, yesterday was the first day I left the house in a really, really long time. My friend took me to for a drive, like a dog. We just went for a drive by the sea. and we had like an outdoor lunch and everything. And I was telling her I was so anxiety ridden. You know, like I had a headache and the sweats and everything before I even left the house. And it was just like, I wasn't looking forward to it until we got going and there was no turning back, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, we're going to do this. I guess we're doing this.
I've become like the mask police. So I've been, good. If anyone, they're working on the roof in my building and the guys are going up and down and in and out of the elevators and the stairwells without wearing masks.
Oh no.
So I spend, you know, whenever I'm here and that's happening, I'm like the mask police. I'm like, where's your mask? And he says, I'm vaccinated. I said, you know, so, first of all, some people aren't. And secondly, even if they are, I said, and then he said, well, everyone should be. And he gets in the elevator and goes down. So I still had more to say. So it's like an atrium. So I waited for him to get down and I yelled down to
good
him.
Good for you.
I said, by the way, I know four people who have been vaccinated that have come down with COVID. You still need to wear your mask, whether or not you're vaccinated. And there's a sign on the elevator that says you need to wear it. And he's like, okay. He said, I'm just saying, yeah, you still should. I said, well, you just told me you shouldn't. You didn't have to because you were vaccinated. Like, I wasn't letting him get away with that.
Good for you.
Yeah, I think everybody's got to, you know, just take the responsibility, like just do it. I was so like, because I haven't been out that much. Like I said, my friend goes, we get seated at this outdoor table. And then she goes, oh, I need to find the loo. Where's the loo? And I'm like, oh, geez, you know, so she gets up and she puts her mask on and she goes and she comes back and she takes her mask off. She sits at the table. And I'm like, is that the rule? Like you have to wear a mask she was like, yeah, like where have you been? I'm like, in my house. Like, I don't know where you are. I don't know, that's what you have to do. She's like, well, yeah, anytime you go indoors, you have to put it on. I'm like, okay, all right, just checking, you know. So yeah, it was we stopped at a farm store on the way home, and it's like half indoor and half outdoor. And I'm like, what are the rules now?
nobody likes wearing it, but you know, you have to.
No, it's true.
I hate that people equate that with your freedom. Oh, yeah. You're losing
that's
your freedom.
What they were saying.
It's not about that. It's about the stupid people that cough and sneeze all over everything that you're stopping them. So it's not about freedom. It's about protection.
So anyway. Twice yesterday, Jay, I'll have you know, because JD and I, she was telling me about this thing that bothers her when she's in the grocery store and people lick their fingers to get the produce bags open or whatever.
You know,
and at the farm store, they had paper bags and to put your like fruit and vegetables in. So I had a couple of nectarines and I had the bag and I was like, oh God. And I had my mask on. I'm like, I can't, I'm not sure.
The masks were keeping the liquors at bay because they couldn't put the mask on anyway.
My friend just grabbed the bag out of my hand and opened it up, like, put stupid things in there. So yeah, it was eventful. Like it was a learning experience. Like I'm slowly feeling better. We're gonna go out again Friday.
Another outing. Are you drinking? What are you drinking today? Did you have
a little JD and Coke?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Are you day drinking, Jenny?
No, mine's coffee still.
Okay. It's okay. It's acceptable. It's middle of the day.
I am. Today is a 90 proof, 100 proof Knob Creek.
Wow. Right in there.
Go.
It's been that kind of day. It has that kind of day. So.
Cheers. Where are you located, JD?
South Florida, Boca Raton.
She's near my mom. So,
oh, there you go.
I'm not far from Marlene, yes.
Okay. And, yeah, you can run into her at the casino anytime you want. Yep, she tortures me. She sends me pictures of her Dunkin' Donut bag, her coffee, and her slot machine. So I know where she's at. Yeah. No words, just pictures.
With a mask. With her mask on.
Only playing the games with plexiglass.
Jeez.
I said, what about your hands? You're touching all these buttons that other people have touched. And she was like, no, they have extra cleaners on staff that clean constantly. They're constantly like, oh my God, there's nothing you can say that's going to get her to not go.
Right. That's not happening.
She's not letting that freak flag go to waste.
At least, though, of all of the things, like cards would be awful unless they change the deck after every hand.
Right.
Everyone at the table is touching those exact same cards. Yeah, so at least with the machine, she's right. If they wipe them down and she doesn't move, she's only sitting in her own germs.
She'll plant herself inside the machines for like an hour at a time, just banging away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I should ask her about the tables. I wonder about that. If the tables are open, that's a good, I might have to hit her with that one. You're not playing any blackjack, are you? Because we just discovered that cards are dirty.
Yeah, I know. We're all going to be like Howard Hughes when this is all over. Not all of us, but some of us. Because I was already a little bit germophobic and now I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, me too.
We were halfway there. This is like, we've been preparing for this our whole lives.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know?
Oh my God. This is like a Virgo Super Bowl, you know? I'm so cool with it. I'm totally down with it. I'm always cleaning anyways. And I don't really like care for people. You know, I worked in a pub and I really enjoyed it. Like I had such a good time. And now I look back and I go, oh my God, I could never do that again. After it's all said and done, it's like, I don't want to be around people anymore. I'm good. No, and you're just starting to get back to normal-ish in your career
in California.
Yes,
sort of, but then we had a bit of an upsurge again. I guess it was after 4th of July or whatever, so now we're back to masks inside again. It's been fair. I mean, there's a bunch of jerks, of course, but LA isn't too bad. But like, I have a show in Ventura, and in fact, one, and I do improv at the end of the show, and one of my comics that just does the improv part with me, she's like, I'm going to bail on this one. Ventura still hasn't put their indoor mask mandate in, and I feel a little uncomfortable, and I totally don't blame her. And I'm glad she pointed that out, because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do improv games where we are on opposite sides of the stage, just to make sure and keep it. Because especially as a comedian, and if you're a good one, they're laughing, which means they are spitting germs up at you, and it's all
right.
You know? So it's kind of like, ah!
Yeah. But you survived so well. And I'm so happy that you always like post your shows
into the
lesbian lounge, so I know that they're there. But yeah, you were on such a roll.
I just dug in. You know what? It was kind of like I always wanted to do the show, but I was trying to juggle my jobs and other things and everything. And now I was like, I got nothing else to do but this, so I could just totally focus on it, make it be what I wanted, and then it was super fun. And I didn't feel like guilty that I was like not going out and getting my gigs and not doing this, like none shit I can do, so might as well just, you know.
As a viewer, I was so happy we were, and they were so consistent. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know. I'm really bummed now. We just moved, and so everything is everywhere. And then I just picked up there's a new club here in Santa Monica, and that's where we moved to, and so I'm going to be doing a couple of gay nights a month there. Okay. So I had to just kind of table that for a little bit, and I got to get back into it because I really, really love doing the show, and it's just sort of like stopped. So I got to pick that back up again and get it.
It was fantastic. We had such good people on; they were so interesting. You know, it was, you were coming up with guests that were outside the box. You know? And that's what I totally dug about it. It was so cool. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, Jay, I don't know if you know this, but Jenny plays football.
Oh, yeah. No, I did not know that.
I used to. I'm actually the announcer now, like all good players, and move my way up to the booth. So 2 or 3 years ago, I think, I was already, like the last few, I started in the year I turned 40. So I played for like 16 seasons. And the last couple of seasons, everything was starting to hurt a little bit more. And I was basically riding the bench most of the time.
Yeah.
So they needed an announcer one game, and I stepped up in the booth, and I'm like, this is really fun. And it connected to the team, because I was also starting to get, for the first time in that final season, I was getting a little bit gun shy, you know, and that's the kiss of death. You're going to get hurt. If you go in worried about getting hurt, you're going to get hurt. But up until that point, I was like, ah, I got pads on, I'm good. But it was just like, I just started feeling the age creeping in a little bit, and I felt the mobility. That's mainly what scared me, was my knees had gotten so bad that I had no way to like kind of get out of things. And I was just afraid of getting crunched in the bottom of a pile, which made me hesitant. And that's when you get hurt. So once I had fun in the booth and I could still stay connected to the team, I'm like, I think I'm just going to stick to this for now.
It's the next
progression. Is it tackle? Is it tackle football?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like regular dude football,
I sang at a halftime show for the Tampa Bay Hurricanes. Do you know?
Oh, cool.
They're a women's tackle football team. Do you know that team? Do you ever play?
You know what? I don't know that team. Typical lesbians get going, and then people are like, fine, then I'm just gonna make my own league. So we've got like six different leagues. And if they would, and honestly, and this makes me a little bit angry, I mean, it was what enabled me to be able to play till I was 129 years old, but if they could consolidate the leagues and get them, because there's some amazing talent out there, there's some women that could play on the semi-pro guys team, you know. So if they would consolidate into one really good league, we could really get traction, because people love the sport so much. And I think what's are we on air yet? Hi everyone. Well, then I guess I'm going to say something potentially controversial, but
excellent.
I think that what hurts sometimes, you know, the homophobia in sports, and so like women's basketball, you can see them a little better if you know what I mean. You can see women, and it's like in order, like lingerie football got attention because it was all the sex selling, but the sport itself is getting so much better. And the people that are playing, like when I started, you know, there's always a few people that have never played before, but every year now the athletes are getting really better. A lot of them now played on their boys teams in high school.
Yeah.
Cool, right?
We can consolidate into one super tight league. Once you put the helmet on, we don't look any different than the guys out there.
You know,
they've all got long dreadlocks now too. So if you put a good game out there, people will watch it. They love the sport. And I think that would really help us. But in the meantime, you know, it's I don't know. And that's, you know, again, maybe that's a controversial thing, but I just think that that homophobia in sports keeps a lot of people from watching women's athletics.
I agree. I totally agree. It's the, you know, the people that are out there doing their thing and trying to raise awareness, you know, like you gotta respect it. It's just, it's incredible. I thought for sure you were, when Jay asked you about Tampa Bay, I thought you were going to be like, they're in the AFC. I really thought there was going to be some difference, but I used to go watch the Palm Beach Punishers was a girls team, and Donna and I used to go watch the games in up in PB, and it was, you know, it was so fun, and
it's great.
But you feel for them because that's all they do in their off time is try and fundraise.
Yeah.
You know, for equipment and all that stuff. And it's hard, but
it's equipment. I mean, everything you do is expensive. The helmets are over $100. The shoulder pads are over $100. Yeah, then you've got to pay to get the travel. You've got to pay to get your, you don't pay the referees in that way, but you have to pay to have the people there that ref the game.
Yes,
you've got to rent the stadiums. If it's an away game, you need a bus. And if the bus is longer than 8 hours, you need two drivers. If it's a hotel, you're talking about housing all those women on the team. It's a really, really expensive sport. And we get, you know, like we get hurt, we're screwed. You know what I mean? It's not like we've got a clause in our contract that's going to keep paying us. So it's really there. We are out there for truly for the love of the game. And that's what makes it so fun to watch too, is just, you know,
so they're out there giving their I'm getting an idea. What if we're doing, if you're up in the booth and you're calling the game, somebody must be filming it. We need to get those out there.
My partner and I stream it too.
We need people to watch the games. We just watch them like on our laptops.
We started streaming. Our league is really picking up. Our league just started a couple years ago, and I think we have the potential to really get some more people in. We just had the championship game. We've got a lot of NFL people behind the league, so you know.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I was here for hours watching it on my laptop.
Yeah, it's great. And it's really, especially once you know, and like, you know, my partner is, she had a sports show for a while. And what she has always said is it's not so much the sport sometimes, it's the athletes involved. Like you'll watch a game. Like, for example, last night I watched an NBA Summer League game, which is just all the rookies that they just drafted.
Oh, yeah.
But I watched it because it was like the number one guy versus the number two guy that was drafted. You know what I mean? And so there's an element of story there. So if you could get the women's stories out there and get, hey, did you know that this woman used to play for that team? And then this happened and now she's on that team. And like the drama alone in women's sports would get people watching.
That's true, though. That's what people connect with. Like,
exactly.
That's the best part of the Olympics. You know,
a little
story, and you're just like, oh my God, they trained by themselves.
really. Because tell me, you can tell the difference between three twists and four twists. I can't. They twisted. They moved a lot, but I can't tell you how many times she flipped in the air. But I know her story. I know what, you know, she went through.
Exactly. So. That's exactly it. Like, we watch it and think that every single dive is great. You're like, oh my God, that was incredible. That was amazing. And then the commentator's like, oh, they're going to deduct points for that splash.
Yeah, how could they?
Right? I didn't even see a splash. Yeah,
right.
So, I can't be a judge. Like, I might be able to be a commentator, but I can't judge.
I don't play football, but if you need somebody to play your halftime show, let me know.
That's the best part about putting them online is that you could have entertainers that are based someplace else completely and just plug them in for half time.
Good point.
Oh, yeah. This is good. I got all kinds of ideas. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You'd be our new commissioner.
That's me. Denise Goodell. So you got a show in Ventura. Is that one of your first ones?
That's a show I've been doing since the club opened up. I do their rainbow night, their gay night there.
It's
the longest running monthly show they've had up there. And we started in May, I think was the first one. I had to wait till I had my second shot. So we started in May. It's once a month. You know, people are spread out a little bit, and it's just like last month it was starting to feel a little bit normal. I don't know what awaits me this month, but You know, so that one's been going on. And then here in Santa Monica, I'm super excited about that one. It's going to be twice a month. And I now live like 2 miles away. So that's nice.
Oh, mute. That's the best.
Yeah, so I'm doing another gay show there. I got Suzanne. Suzanne Westenhofer, she's a good buddy of mine. And she always, like, whenever I do start something, she's always my first guest.
Yeah,
and so we didn't think she was going to be able to make it, and then something else got her switched in her schedule. So I'm like, if you're home, you got to be my first guest. You're my good luck charm. And she's like my gym neighbors, only way better.
Yeah. I loved having Suzanne on. She just like took the reins and just
Yeah,
she's great. It's so good to start seeing all those familiar faces again.
You know?
We had Vicky Shaw on. We had Dana Goldberg, and
yeah,
you know, it's all the people that we have missed, and then we, you know, haven't seen in forever, feels like. And everybody, you know, me and Jay talk about this all the time about performing online is just such a crazy, different, weird, stupid experience. Like, no, you're literally playing for likes, for thumbs ups, you know, like Facebook likes, and it's like
for comments and it's, you know,
occasional flying hearts going by or something.
Well, they like that one. They like that one.
Live stream.
But if you're doing a show, I mean, ideally you want to be like looking into the camera and not looking at the like things, right? So it's like you don't ever see the likes, you don't hear them. It's really balance.
Right. You can't get a handle.
The thing that helped me was having done that show for first every day and then 3 days a week, I was sort of used to delivering my monologue to nothing. In fact, I made a joke that I am killing right now because I don't know, right? So I'm like, I'm sure you are all laughing at each and everything I say. So in my head, I was smoking all during the pandemic.
It's so true. It was so weird at first. Like I was watching we had a friend of mine on, Nikki Mitchell, and she's a musician, and she was doing like live shows from her living room with the virtual tip jar. And it was like, you're trying to listen and then figure out the PayPal link. And
yeah,
like, I want to drop her a fiver, but I'm not quite, and I'm missing the whole thing trying to figure out how to tip her. So yeah, it's crazy. I'm so glad things are starting to.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully they remain, if we can get our heads out of
our butts. It's crazy because in California, I always tell people that are like in a business, like my biggest fear about this pandemic surely wasn't that I was going to die. It was that I was going to run out of television.
Did the toilet paper thing there, Denise, or was it just
the toilet paper panic. But again, that wasn't a concern of mine. I was super scared that LA was going to shut down and we'd have no new TV programs, and then what are we going to do? But that was my big concern, and it seemed like they took a couple weeks off to address how to invoke protocols, you know, and then they were right back at it. So
it was a little bit longer, and they really do a good job. I must say, they have, like, you know, anyone that steps on the set is tested, that, you know, they're tested that day when they go on, they can do the immediate testing. They have to have their vaccines and everything. So they do a pretty good job, at least as good as they can. I think, you know, for me, the NBA, I was always NFL, but during the pandemic, I got such respect for the WNBA, who kind of started it, and the NBA, not only for their social things that they did, but I mean, for us, I remember watching the game where the Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, when they first shut down the league, because basketball was the first to do it, basketball and hockey. And Mark Cuban sitting there watching the game, and you can tell he's reading his phone, and he just goes like that. And it was like, in that moment, we're like, they just canceled the season. Like, this is serious shit. Yeah. So for me, that's when COVID became real, was when they canceled the NBA.
Yeah, that headline like changed right to that. And I was like, wow.
Right, but they dealt with it. They went, okay, in order to do this, we've got secluded. In order to do this, we've got to test every day. In order to do this, and they did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then you see in the beginning, when you leave them to their own devices, we get a few more, you know, COVID tests and stuff this year. So it's, you know, you have to just, if you're just diligent, you can do it. That's what's so frustrating about.
Yeah. That. How do you feel like the comedy clubs are doing? Like, are they being strict?
You know, it's pretty good. It's like normally the last thing you would ever want in a room is to have all of your people spread out, you know, for comedy, you want slightly chilled, all packed together and close to the stage. That's perfect. Yes. So here they are all spread out away from the stage. You're like, but okay,
you hear me back there.
Yeah. So it's, you know, a little bit, you know, it's again, I haven't done a whole lot of shows. I did the one, we were supposed to do one up in Sacramento, Lisa Koch and I, and we decided not to do that one just because things were just starting to get weird again. And we didn't want to schedule it, put all that time into it, and then have it not be, or worse yet, get someone sick, you know? So we had to
right.
next year. So we're just doing these shows. And
would you, are you a cruiser? Like, are you a cruise performer?
I'm doing an Olivia trip in, right before Women's Week in October, October 2nd. I'm doing the, we start in Amsterdam, and assuming I don't get arrested there, then we go down the Rhine River and just end up in Luxembourg and stop in between where I can't pronounce.
It's the Brodnik.
I don't know. They're all German and I can't pronounce them. But Riesling wine awaits me. That's all I know.
I was thinking about that. Like a friend of mine had posted something about he has tickets for a cruise in mm-hmm. September. And there was an email that went out that said that 95% of the passengers will be fully vaccinated. And he's wondering about the other 5%. Like,
yeah,
right.
Them? Do they not get to go? Do they get a refund? Do they? So yeah, it'll mm-hmm. be interesting to see, you know, how they handle, not so much the performers, because you all have to, you know, show that, you know, that you're vaccinated and you know, follow all those protocols. But passengers are the ones, most of them are going to have the issue about, like, what do you mean I have to prove that I've been vaccinated?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be like,
well, plus on a cruise, they stop at ports and go out.
So yeah, like, right.
From coming back in.
That's true. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, you just wear a mask and hope for the best. You know, honestly, it's just, I don't know why, the same reason I, you know, feel I can drink and smoke pot. It's not going to happen to me. So I'm not really worried about me. I'm just like, my mom's 93. So I would hate to be the thing, you know, that, so I'm like really trying to be serious about it, but it's just, you know, it's as far as the cruises and stuff go, you just kind of have to cross your fingers, hope for the best, and then stay away from
her for a couple weeks.
You don't know. I could have it and I don't want to be, you know, tested every day. And that's the thing too. People crack me up. They're like, well, you can still get it with the vaccine. I'm like, all right, we killed polio with a 90% effective vaccine. This
right.
was 97 to 98. And you know what that means? That's still mean, that's miraculous. That's enough to kill a disease. Exactly. But that still means that 3 people out of every 100 can get it. So like when we have these breakthrough cases, people are acting like it's news. I'm like, no, that's part of how science works. It's math. It's, you know, but they're not dying. So it's just, the ignorance is really, really frustrating. Right. And like you were saying, just the whole digging my feet in, I'm not going to do it.
It's just, it's because it's so like political and everything else. It's just, you know, it's a little bit nuts. Over here, my friend's kid went to Spain for their like senior trip or whatever with just a group of friends, like not the whole class, mm-hmm. but, and came back and nobody else on the trip tested positive. And she came home and she tested positive, but she did like 8 tests and it was like, seven were negative, one was positive.
Wow.
It was like, she did the lateral flow. She did the PCR test, the laterals, the this, the that, back and forth. So finally it just, her PCR test came back negative, because it's like, morally you want to do the right thing, you know, you want to isolate and all that. Like, that's what I was, when I told my mom that I had this flight for October, she was like, oh good, when you come here then we can go up to New York and go to so-and-so's wedding. And I was like, listen, I am not gonna get off a plane in Florida and then get on another plane and go to New York and then sit in a room with 100 people.
Yeah.
Like, that's morally, I can't do that. Like, there's got to be some in-betweens.
Yeah.
And the problem,
just come in September.
The problem too is that with this, there's different variants. So it's like, okay, hopefully, you know, it covers that. Like with polio, we didn't have different variants.
Yeah.
So we had it and it was done. So now I don't know. I guess the Lambda, I don't even know if I'm hearing the right information.
Oh, I know. I just saw
that. The vaccines do not protect you from that. I mean, I don't know. I guess they
don't know yet. You don't have enough cases to really know. Yeah.
But you're still better off with it. So it's like, you know, you're better off.
Yeah, that's, try and convince somebody, you know, that doesn't want to do it. Yeah, try and convince
them. And, you know, I had my own personal reasons because Denise knows. My dad had an adverse reaction, an autoimmune reaction to the flu vaccine in 2003 and ended up not getting paralyzed. His spinal cord swelled and didn't walk for 7 years till he passed away. And he was only 70. He was a healthy 70-year-old.
Oh, my God.
And he was sick with bronchitis and on antibiotics when they gave him the flu vaccine, and he shouldn't have been given it while he was sick with that. So the way they described it was his immune system kind of went haywire and turned against his own body, and his spinal cord swelled, even though when the swelling went down, he had scar tissue, and that kept him from walking. So when this vaccine came out, even though it wasn't the same thing, my family, we were nervous because we saw what a vaccine could do
to
a person's neurological system. And, you know, unfortunately, we wish that, you know, wasn't the thing but, you know, it was because it was new and they didn't really know much about COVID and stuff, you know, as much as you would like for them to have known. But ultimately, we ended up getting it because it was just the safer thing to do. Mm-hmm. So it was just a little bit
again, it's like your humanity kicks in.
Yeah, exactly.
When these people are saying it's not, I don't want the government tracking me. It's like nobody, it's not FDA approved. It's my right to not have it. It's my right to not disclose whether I have it or not. All this stuff. It's like, to me, it's like that has nothing to do with your basic caring about other people.
Right.
You know, like, where does that come into play?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we were taking care of my mom, who's 87. Who just had two mini strokes. So that was the other reason.
Oh,
we just went and did it. And thank God, you know, so far we're okay. Yeah. But that was my reason. It wasn't a political thing. It was just what if, you know, this happened to daddy and, you know, and even though intellectually I knew it wasn't the same vaccine, it wasn't the same circumstances. We were just nervous about it. But
you have PTSD, like it would paralyze you
exactly,
making a decision because you're so shell-shocked by it. But well, that, and you have a business. Okay. Like that's another consideration. Like you own a business and even though you don't have a lot of foot traffic, like most of your you know, people are in the yard or whatnot, you're still in an office and people do come in.
They do. Even though we have a sign, please wear a mask before you come in. You know, we don't have like a business where we have the general public coming in. It's a pallet business, Jenny. Mm-hmm. So it's like we mostly get, if someone comes in, it's a trucker or whatever. But truckers are all over the place, you know. So
it's a lot to think about. Like, you know, just leaving the house yesterday was like. Keys, wallet, mask, hand sanitizer. I'm like, oh
yeah, really.
If it keeps up, I'm gonna have to carry a purse.
No, just get bigger cargo pants with bigger pockets. That's all you gotta do. You don't need to resort to a purse.
Honest to God,
nothing should make you resort to a purse.
So there you are. We were just saying, it's like I'm not carrying a purse. I'm not carrying a man bag. I can't, you know, like it's crazy with the things that you have to think about now just to leave your house, you know, like, good grief. So I'm going to.
And then we're going to find masks everywhere. You know, hopefully, assuming we survive this, you know, we're going to look back and go, now, what was the problem? They didn't want to wear a mask. Why? I don't know. But it would save your life. Yes, I know. But why didn't they want the vaccine? Well, they thought Bill Gates was putting a chip in it. Bill Gates, the computer guy? And it's going to be like, explain this shit. Really?
It's so funny. It's so true.
That's true.
And you know, like the best and worst part, I think for me, when I think about people with kids, like, oh my God, like it is just right now it's the best time to be childless.
Think
about with them going to school, whether to get them vaccinated and will that be approved for young kids and, you know, sticking a mask on them in a 6.5 hour school day. Yeah. Like, oh my God, like I'm freaking out about wearing one on a plane for 8 hours and these kids are doing it every day.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of the bright spots, I think, being childless, is that we can just ride over that, not have to worry about that.
Yeah,
but it's
tough because I was looking at it myself. I'm like, I wonder why. And apparently it's just they're not sure of their immune response to it yet, whether it's too much or too little. And because they're still developing their immune systems, they're not quite sure. Right. So they're doing some tests now. God bless.
Yeah, for us, they just started doing 12 to 17 year olds. And again, it's not like mandated, but they're
recommended.
So. It's
because that's what they were saying, but my kids, they're only 10, but they're really big. They're as big as a 12-year-old, but it's like, it's not the size of the kid. It's the development of their immune system.
Not by weight. Yeah.
Right. So
oh, this has been good. This has been fantastic. I noticed that we got just about 3 minutes left. So I just want to get all your upcoming dates out and where people can find you now that you're back out in the land of the living.
Well, my girlfriend and I are going to dinner on Friday. Oh no. I am going to be doing on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month in Santa Monica and the second Thursday of every month in Ventura. So that's set. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully within a month or so, I'm also revamping the in-house comedy chat because, well, initially I thought we wouldn't be in the house anymore. We may be back. I don't know. But I'm calling it Chat and Go with Jenny McNulty. So I'm going to do it. And I'm going to, if I can, start doing some of the interview parts live walking, like I used to do with my walking show. And then kind of combine the two shows. So I'll still have like the monologue intro and then maybe the taped walk or still some live walks for some people that are places where I can't get to them.
Yeah.
So hopefully that show will come back soon. And within the next couple of months. And in the meantime, second and third Wednesdays in Santa Monica, and second and fourth Wednesdays in Santa Monica, and second Thursday in Ventura.
Perfect.
Oh, and then Women's Week.
That's great.
Women's Week, yeah.
Yeah.
Assuming P-Town is still there. They just went crazy with their thing too. My goodness.
Yeah, yeah. I think they are. I still see people like are getting ready, and I keep trying to get Jay to go down there and just play on the street corner.
Yeah.
So if you see her, say hi.
I'm going to have to do that.
I want you to
apply to submit to anything. So,
yeah.
All right, guys, it's been great catching up.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
So good
to see you. Nice meeting you, Jenny.
Likewise, JD. I'll call you next year for a halftime show.
Yes.
Perfect. Let me know when you need contracts and stuff sorted. I'll handle everything for you.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. There, Bessie.
He drank way too much whiskey.
Like, never stop chasing your dreams.